not research-oriented. I think there'll be more data on that in some of the later presenters. But I think they chose a Planned Parenthood clinic because we represent, in some ways, some of the very worst traits of being male-friendly and being associated as being a female-only organization. So what I wanted to talk about this afternoon were some of the practical things we did in our clinic to get men to come in and thereby increase a lot of the STD testing that went on in Nueces County, Texas. I think one of the great strengths of Title X is that it includes both STD and HIV screening and broader reproductive health visits. And as David mentioned, it provides an avenue in which women have learned for years how to enter into the healthcare system. And because it's more than just STD testing, I think in many ways it has less stigma attached to it than STD-only clinics where people can be somewhat reluctant to be seen. When I started this project in 2003, there was a lot of misperceptions, the primary one being that family planning clinics are not successful at serving men. Well, my feeling is we've never been given the money to do it, it's never really been our mission, and we had never really tried seriously to increase the number of men. We also found that a lot of dollars for male involvement were going into community-based organizations that were not clinical. And if we didn't spend some time and money looking at how to make our clinics more male-friendly and male-accessible, we could do fabulous outreach. And I think you'll hear some outreach, particularly from David Johnson, that was really interesting. But if you're then referring men to a clinic that isn't particularly welcoming to young men, nothing really good happens in the long term. And when we really began thinking about this project, it really struck us as quite ludicrous that for years we've tried to reduce STDs and unplanned pregnancy, and we only address 50% of the population. I mean, whatever were we thinking? And conversely, what are the long-term health outcomes if young males' experience in sexual reproductive health are visits, sort of episodic visits to an STD clinic where they come away and they would say to us, I'm never going to go there again. I'm never going to make the same mistake. So instead of building a long-term home, a medical home, we were really giving them health care that they needed, but it was not an experience that they wanted ever to repeat. I think, again, in Title X clinics, family planning clinics, we teach young women skills in health literacy. They learn how to navigate the healthcare system. They learn the benefits of disease prevention. They learn a little bit about preventive care. And one of our goals is that the young men who come into our clinics not only have less STDs and hopefully their partners have less unplanned pregnancies, but they could gain some of these skills that women have over the years gained. And I think it's one of the reasons why women are the masters of who goes to the doctor in every family. And again, I think it's unfair to judge Title X as being unresponsive to men. I think the main problem always has been rationing. We didn't have enough money and clinics to serve everybody. I think when it was first implemented, we were very concerned about women's rights and control of their bodies, and we didn't really give men a role in prevention. And medically, there is no standard of care that says young men should go to the doctor every year for a checkup. So they really aren't getting a mandate that they should come in. But when we began this project in 2003, 4% of clinic clients nationwide in Title X were male. So our project was a joint project with the Texas Department of State Health Services. And our goal was to increase the men we saw in our clinic and to develop a model that was replicable and very cost-effective so that other clinics could do it without special funding, and then to collect data on the men that came through the clinic at intake and then at 6 and 12 months. And our target population were males 17 to 45 in Nueces County, Texas. Excuse my voice. Here are the results after 5 years in this one Title X clinic. In 2003, we had seen 163 males. By 2008, that had grown to 1,300. 2008 is when the project ended, and we were very pleased to see that we were able to sustain the level of men even after the funding stream really was cut in half. But the really important thing was that while men grew from 4 to 20% of our population, our female patient numbers skyrocketed. They grew by 55% by 2009. And the reason they grew was because the men brought in their whole network of females in their lives and referred them to the clinics. And obviously these were women that we were not getting into our clinic for other reasons. And we improved our customer service. And as my Title 10 regional person always says to me, Mandy, what were you doing to the women before? But we realized in order to get the men to come through the door, there was nothing wrong with the men, there was something wrong with us, and we needed to do business differently. This was the client profile. It's about 61% Hispanic, mostly living under 100% of poverty. Most were not married. They were employed, but they didn't earn hardly anything. Most could speak English, but Nueces County is near the border, but it's usually second generation immigrants who speak English and are pretty acclimated culturally. With the increase in clients came a huge increase in the testing for gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV. In 2004, we had done 378 tests. By 2009, we did 1,411. And while the positivity rate stayed about the same, it was the STD testing that was the key to get guys into the clinic. In 2009, 100% of the males who come to the clinic are tested for gonorrhea and chlamydia, and 83 were tested for HIV. And we tried really hard not to have this just be an STD lab testing. We wanted them to have full exams because that was part of the process of teaching them about regular preventive health care. We found that the painless urine STD screening and rapid HIV testing were the hooks that got the guys to come through the door. They would be afraid they had something, but once we had them in, it was our job to change this from being just that STD visit to establishing more of a medical home. And the men surprised us because they really wanted to be involved in family planning, and they were willing to come to our clinic if we made changes to meet their needs. And part of the study was to gather this data from our participants, and they all showed increases in their knowledge about prevention of STDs, prevention of pregnancy. They improved their attitudes about going to the doctor, and those hopefully will result in positive health behaviors over the long term. Again, the changes in healthcare delivery were what made the difference. We were very lucky because we control both our clinic services and our outreach in the community. Some other projects just did the outreach and had no control over the way the clinics were run. And we think it's by controlling both your clinical services and your outreach that you're able to be most effective. As David mentioned, we had three strategies: to make our clinic environment more male-friendly, to do a lot of staff training so they knew more about male sexual and reproductive health services, which they knew very little about, and to improve marketing outreach and inreach. And we started by opening a men's clinic within our clinic. And by that, I mean we just gave it a name. We just called it Male Central Clinic. And for $25, we stenciled the name on the door. And it just said to them, you belong here. You've not gone to the wrong place. And then we quickly learned that they needed to be seen right away when they called, and that access, immediate access, was more important than male-only hours. So we offer male-only hours, but we also see you anytime our clinic is open. That's a picture of Efren Franco, who's our fabulous male director, standing in front of the stenciled arrow on the door that says Male Central Clinic. But it's right under the big Planned Parenthood sign, so just giving the program a name was enough to get them to come through the door. We did extensive male-friendly assessments, and by that I meant we looked at the mission statement, we looked at our policies, our literature, all our educational materials, our job descriptions. We did assessments of staff attitudes towards serving men. We looked at our physical environment, what it looked like, what were the posters on the walls. We looked at our hours, our appointment schedule, and then our protocols for clinical services and what kind of lab services we were offering. We spent a lot of time working with our community partners, asking them what they thought men needed in terms of their health care, and trying to establish a network for referrals out, because we didn't have those networks in place when we found complications in our male patients. And then we did a lot of focus groups with target population. In terms of the clinic environment, we didn't spend a lot of money. There is no money. We put up some Dallas Cowboys posters, and I hate them, but anyway, Efren insisted. We did buy a big screen TV. We bought the cable network so we could have the right games on. We had better magazines. But mostly, all our patients said, if you are just friendly, we don't care. You have to be nicer and friendlier. We learned things like if you left the stirrups up in the exam room and they walked in, they just kind of backed away because they had no idea what you were going to do to them during the visit. And if you put those stirrups away, they felt a lot better. But the main thing we learned is they have no idea what you're going to do when they come through the door. And we had to be far more proactive in explaining what would happen, when it would happen, would it hurt. We spent a lot of time on a theme of empowerment, because what we had to sell was knowledge. If you know more and you take care of your health, you will have more control about outcomes. And we really worked hard to not make this a finger-wagging STD kind of visit scare. They would not want to come back. We did a lot of work, again, on staff training on how to be more friendly, how to let men know what was going to happen, that you would become a better partner, you would know how birth control works, you would understand birth spacing, you could talk about prevention of STDs, you would know more about symptoms. Knowledge is power. We did a lot of in-reach. We realized most of our clients came because females told them to come to the clinic. And we didn't need to spend a lot of money doing outreach, and in the community it was important to do, but the most important thing was tell our female clients, bring your brothers, sisters, friends, not just your partners, send your family over. And most females reported that they were referring males. We asked all the men, where did you hear about the clinic? And most heard first from a female, and then over the years, more reported hearing from a male friend. Again, STD screening was the reason why they initially came to the clinic, but they kept coming back, and they came back regularly. In our external marketing, we got a lot of free media. The media like shares responsibility. We had a lot of news stories. We did a lot of health fairs, condoms, lollipops, condom packets, business cards, very cheap, inexpensive. Health fairs, car shows, sports events. We go to prisons, work sites. You have to be involved in your community and take knowledge of your project to where the guys are, but you're not just marketing to the guys, you're marketing to the females in the community too. We built a float and we put it in a neighborhood parade. We sponsored boxing tournaments. We had teen outreach workers that would go to festivals and hand out certificates. This is the reason Efren is not here at spring break at Padre Island. And the poor man, every year he has to go out there. He's in the photo on the top right, and distribute condoms on the beach to hundreds of thousands of teenagers who come down for spring break. We do a lot of nightclub outreach. We have a condom man who goes out and distributes condoms. We do a lot of work at the fraternities and the colleges, have been a wonderful source of males. We have radio stations that were very eager to get on board with HIV promotion. We sponsor a Little League team. We're very active in some of the schools that allow us in. And we do a lot of work with the military. Lots of military have insurance, but they don't want it on their record if they have an STD. So we had a lot of guys coming in from the military. We developed, just on our own computers, very cheap, easy signage. We had 10 top things we wanted people to leave the clinic knowing, and we stole these from David Bell in New York. And a lot of them had to do with STDs spreading to your partner, partner testing, STDs increasing risk of HIV. But these were the takeaway messages we wanted them to have. From the research, we found that men were interested in preventive health care. They were more likely to know about services other than the emergency room, about emergency contraception, about symptomless STDs. All of the data we gathered showed that they had benefited. But what was really interesting to us was the year after the project was over, when we surveyed the guys that came into the clinic, almost all of them said they thought it was valuable for men to know more about male and female contraceptive methods. They thought it should be a shared responsibility, and they felt more able to talk to their partners. But what really surprised us was the women, because we had heard first from a lot of the women, I don't know if we want the men here. And my female staff said, I don't think the women will like the men here. The women love it. They want guys to share in responsibility. They think the guys are better partners. They think if they knew how to talk about these issues better, they would be better partners. And some of them did it with sort of like, well, he needs to suffer like I do each year. But others did it out of compassion, saying, you know, they deserve to have this health care also. And interestingly, the women also thought that the women who come to this clinic are better prepared to expect their partners to share responsibility. And that was an important component. I can say as the director, it brought in more money, that the idea of shared responsibility is very popular with funders. It's something that's very safe, whereas female STDs or birth control information may not be acceptable in certain schools. Anything about men goes. There's a double standard. And male patients were more likely to donate. So my message is men need these services, especially the STD testing. It can increase your whole patient load, not just your males. It helped our staff look at each patient and see them as half of the solution. If they didn't reach through that patient to the partners, we were never going to have long-term success. It improved male-female communication and increased donations and potential donors. So my message is men do want to have control and responsibility. They want to know more, and they'll share in prevention. That is my contact information, and thank you all.
I do have a pressing question.
A very pressing question, okay.
Do you welcome young men who have sex with men?
Yes, yes. We didn't want to become a clinic for that only, and that was one of our original fears. We wanted to be inclusive of everybody, and it's worked very well.